Come, Holy Spirit, and enkindle in the hearts of your faithful the fire of your love. Amen. Good morning, Trinity Church. So Teddy, sniffing glue, he was 12 years old, fell from the roof on East 29. Kathy was 11 when she pulled the plug on 26 pills and a bottle of wine. Bobby got leukemia, 14 years old. He looked 65 when he died. He was a friend of mine. These are people who have died. These are people who have died. They were all my friends, and they died. A passerby, peering into a window of the ground floor apartment, first saw it, Jim Carroll, slumping from his desk in his childhood home. Classic Inwood, joked a friend from the neighborhood, some nosy neighbor, always peeping. After 60 years of hard living, Carroll had steered himself back into the Irish Catholic culture against which he had rebelled all his life, from before his first spike of heroin when he was still in junior high, from before he hustled the Times Square vice presidents of toothpaste firms, as he called them, and who funded his addictions. From before he worked at Andy Warhol's factory and kept company with Allen Ginsberg and Bob Dylan. From before he rebelled even against his own rebellion, getting clean, pursuing poetry, moving to San Diego, fronting the Jim Carroll Band, and recording that deeply personal autobiographical anthem, People Who Have Died, maybe the last great punk rock song. A superstar athlete with an artist's gift for observation. In 1978, a California press published his adolescent journal as The Basketball Diaries. The diaries span the years 1963 to 1966, from the time Carroll was 13 until he was 17, including Carroll's scholarshiped high school career at Trinity School, that pressed collar preparatory, originally launched by Trinity Episcopal Church, Wall Street. Rife with the unthinking, inherited bigotry of a feral youth, the journal proves a difficult read in 2020. His unreconciled hostilities, offensive, even injurious. Its episodic narrative traces a descent from what Carroll explains in a summer entry as his Pepsi Cola habit, a habit that sneaks up on you while you're telling yourself, I've been messing with junk for 3 years, he writes, and I know when to lay off. I ain't getting me no habit. I got it handled, and this ain't nothing more than a taste of the Pepsi Cola dig. But one morning you wake up and suddenly your nose is running, and your eyes are tearing, and the laugh's on you because you ain't got nothing under control. Today, we celebrate the Feast of All Saints, that occasion when we remember the intercommunion of all the saints, both the saints militant and the saints triumphant. The saints militant, those believers who, like us, walk as yet by faith, and the saints triumphant, those whose lives have been lived in faith, those who have since died in the same. The Acts of the Apostles and the New Testament epistles refer to saints as all believers in Jesus Christ, all believers. And today's commemoration challenges our tendency to think of saints as a kind of ecclesial hall of fame, one populated exclusively by renowned figures from our Christian past. Reading our appointment from the Gospel of Matthew, then, with this understanding, the Beatitudes do not simply catalog the character of long-ago all-stars, but affirm and commission us. Confirm and commission us, ordinary saints, too. That is, Jesus does not preach, blessed were they who were meek, No, Jesus instead declared, "Blessed are you who are meek. You will inherit the earth." See, in the Sermon of the Mount, Jesus issues a message of protest, a declaration of defiance. For these Beatitudes invert the world, where wealth and power and status demonstrate God's blessing, inverts that world. For in this sermon, Jesus dismisses the self-righteous and all those foolish enough to believe they have it under their own control. Jesus marginalizes the aggressive and the antagonistic and centers instead the merciful and the peacemaking, the unknown and the overlooked. Carol sings, "Sly in Vietnam took a bullet in the head and Bobby OD'd on the night that he was wet. Judy jumped in front of a subway train and Eddie got slit in the jugular vein. Eddie, I miss you more than all the others. This song is for you, my brother." These are people who have died. These are people who have died. They were all my friends and they died. As the summer of 1966 neared its close, the soon-to-be 17-year-old Carol journaled of an attempt to quit heroin, describing the hot flashes, the cold ripples, and the terrible sickness. He explains, "I have to kick this now because I got to get back to high school in 2 weeks. I mean, I just can't believe how unslick I feel." The next entry begins, "It's been about a week now since I journaled. In fact, that last one I wrote was a bit off key because I had been cold turk when I scribbled. To tell the truth, my withdrawal only lasted one more day, and now I'm back as good or bad as ever. Anyway, this therapy rap session I went to last night with a few other H pals set me thinking. See, some lady professor there asked at one point if we felt guilty about using junk. And I'm thinking now, like, just what is guilty? And who is guilty? Big business dudes making billions, and they ain't shelling out a reefer's worth of tax. Are they guilty? Kids walk through the jungle, I don't know how far away, and shoot people, while white-haired men in smoking jacket armchairs make laws to keep it all going smoothly. Are they guilty? I go for a swim in the river with my buddies, and we have to duck huge amounts of human waste, let's call it, and grease and newly discovered fibers, because those smokestack companies don't care about me or nothing other than the wad in their wallets. Are they guilty? You got to see that junk is just another 9-to-5 gig in the end. The hours are a bit more inclined toward the shadows, but it's a life no more guilty than yours, Prof. See, Carol's diaries and people who have died join Jesus' defiance. "I was here," they declare. "I lived and laughed and struggled, and I survived on unfair streets. I was here, on those dark alleys that you avoid, in the corners of the park that you won't visit. And I was not alone. Those kids you bury out on Hart Island in the Potter's Field, whose names you never knew, whose names nobody ever called, they were my people. Not boardroom squares, but punks and junkies who knew my name. Those are people who have died. I loved them all, and I miss them still." See, by his protest song, Carol commissions his friends to where Jesus calls us. Commissions his friends to where Jesus calls us. where the pure in heart see God, where all who hunger and thirst for righteousness, where all who hunger and thirst are filled, where care and the common good overcome all politics, where the lonely and the lost find love, where the merciful receive mercy, where the anxious, where the fearful for this week and for always find peace. Carroll died at his desk on September 11th, 2009, alone and yet still a spectacle, his neighbors peering through the drapes. Having joined the ranks of those about whom he had sung in his street corner necrology, a Greenwich Village Catholic church prayed his funeral mass. And friends, on this All Saints Day, in this God's Trinity Church in the city of Boston, Jim Carroll gathers with us. Not because of those things he had done or left undone, but because in the mystery of the union between Christ and the church, God binds the living and the dead. God binds the living and the dead, and not by Halloween crystal balls, but by love. God's love of us, our love of God, our love for one another. By his love, then, those Carroll never forgot. Teddy and Kathy, Bobby, Sly, and Eddie, they're all here, too. Along with everyone we know and love, everyone we have known and have loved. Phillips, John, and H.H., if you want to go that way, they're here. But so too, Julie and Bill are here. My grandparents, Granny and Jenna and Sir, my nephew, Henry, they're here. Jane, Joan, Janet, Fran, William, Steve, they're here. Along with all us ruddy saints, still on earth, here. On this All Saints, take heart, Trinity Church. For our communion punches through this marble and plaster, shatters these leaded windows. Angels and archangels and all the company of heaven knock down our sanctuary walls and make room for you at this altar. Wherever you are, make room for us and for all those we love. The saints triumphant, mine and yours, known and unknown, share this holy table with us, the saints militant, in Jesus' great defiance. Jesus' great defiance, from the Sermon on the Mount to his triumph over death itself, strengthens us to stand on the brink of whatever lay ahead, to stand on the brink and to declare, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. We pray for all the saints in the name of God. Amen. Amen.